You guys ready for the Word of God? All right. I'm going to start with a quote. Well, at least I'll get to a quote in a second. Ulysses S. Grant, because I had to get some history involved. Ulysses S. Grant, he was the general-in-chief of all the United States armies during the Civil War of America. Now, having led all of the armies of the United States to victory in the Civil War, Ulysses S. Grant is certainly someone who understands what it is to have to face an enemy in battle. And he faced some horrific battles in his life. Now, from General Grant's battlefield experience, he drew this conclusion. He said, and I want you guys to see this. He said that in every battle, there comes a time when both sides consider themselves beaten. And then, he who continues the attacks wins. Now just think about that. Just leave that up for a few minutes because we're going to come back to that. But think about what that means. Because we face battles all the time. We face spiritual battles all the time. And there is spiritual truth to what he says right here. Merriam-Webster's dictionary defines a battle as in part being this. It's an extended conflict, an extended struggle, an extended controversy. Now, we know that as believers in Jesus Christ, we know that Jesus has won every victory for us in every situation. The war is done. Jesus won, Satan lost. But there are still battles. The war is won. But there are still battles that we have to face. So, I'm asking you, what are the battles that you're facing today in your life? What are the battles that you have to stand up for today in your life? Remember this. The war has been won, but by definition, battles can be extended conflicts and struggles. How many times have you been frustrated in life because you've stood on the Word of God, but you just haven't seen the victory manifested in your life? That is the battle. It's moving forward until you get the win. It's moving forward until you see the victory. This is where General Grant's observation becomes so poignant. Because again, he said, in every battle, there comes a time when both sides consider themselves beaten. What's the battle you're facing today? You know, there's times in life that we just feel like we're beaten. But you're not. You have the victory in Jesus Christ. You've already won. Now, Grant said that both sides feel defeated. There's times that we feel beaten, but we're not. Satan feels beaten because Satan knows that he is defeated. He knows he's defeated. He's just hoping that we yield before his defeat in that particular battle is manifested. I read a book a couple of weeks ago. It was a book about all of the battles that were fought in the Holy Land over the past 3,000 years. There's a lot of battles. Now, the author was not coming from a Christian perspective at all. But as I was reading about all these battles that were fought, and as I was reading about the ones that had biblical accounts to them, I started to recognize a pattern that's really easily overlooked. And I thought, wow, this is really an important pattern because it comes up in the Word of God again and again and again. Here's the pattern. When Israel would face a battle, God brought confusion into the enemy. And it's that confusion that led directly to the enemy's defeat. God would bring confusion, defeat would come. Time after time, this scenario plays out in the Bible. Time after time, Israel would face a hopeless situation. And God would bring confusion into the enemy, and the enemy would be defeated. God is faithful to his word. And in fact, this confusion, it is a promise. It's an actual promise that God gave. This confusion I'm talking about is a promise that God gave to his people. Look at this in Exodus chapter 23. Excuse me, fretting on a trip. I haven't fallen down yet in 5 years, so. Won't be today. This is Exodus chapter 23, verses 27 and 28. This is God's promise. I will send my fear before you. I will cause confusion among all the people to whom you come, and will make all of your enemies turn their backs to you. And I will send hornets before you, which will drive out the Hivite, the Canaanite, and the Hittite from before you. You know, that's pretty powerful stinging that's taking place, because there are no more Hivites, Canaanites, or Hittites. You know, during the summer, we're going to start to see there's like, on LaGrange Street, they have the Polish festival. You know, they have the German festival. Where my parents grew up, they have the Swiss festival. There's Irish festivals. You don't ever see a Hivite festival. There's no Canaanite festivals. See, the sting of the hornets that God sends brings ultimate and total defeat. You have nothing to fear, regardless of whatever the battle is that you're facing. You have nothing to fear, because he has caused his fear to go before you. And I emphasize that phrase. His fear to go before you. And his fear causes confusion, which brings to ruin the best laid plans of Satan against you. His fear brings confusion, which defeats the enemy. And then it says, he drives the enemy from before you. Please notice, everything is before you. God goes before you, and the enemy is driven before you. All of this happens before you so that you and I can keep moving forward in faith. It's all done before you. A familiar verse. This is James chapter 4, verse number 7. So be subject to God, resist the devil, stand firm against him, and he will flee from you. The Hebrew word that we read as confusion in Exodus 23, now you're going to see there's a number of different Hebrew words for confusion, but the Hebrew word that we read in Exodus 23 that says confusion, that word means this. In the Hebrew, it means to make a noise which causes confusion and puts the enemy into a commotion. That's the definition of the word confusion. And the great thing is, when I looked up that word in Strong's, it also had a word picture. This is a great word picture. The word picture is that of a chariot wheel that is causing fear, commotion, and confusion. Whatever demonic plans the enemy has set out against you, whatever those demonic plans might be, he has already thrown them into confusion. Whatever demonic plans are before you, they are thrown into confusion at the sound of the chariots of God advancing against him. And then God drives the enemy from before you. The direction of every battle that you and I face in life, remember this, the direction of every battle that we face is forward. Always forward, because Jesus has gone before us. We just keep moving forward. Now there's several different Hebrew words that are used that we see in the Bible for the word confusion. I'm not going to try to pronounce this one to you, but I love this one because of the definition of this word for confusion in the Bible. The word means formlessness, chaos. It means a state of nothingness, empty space, a barren wasteland. It means to be vain and futile. We are to keep moving forward in faith in Jesus Christ. No matter what the battle is that we face, we keep moving forward in Jesus regardless of the battle. And then you watch. Watch as Jesus Christ himself throws all of the enemy's plans into confusion. It brings all of his plans to a state of nothingness, where every plan that he has against you is made vain and futile. and cannot prevail against you. That's what we walk in. I don't care what the battle is. You have nothing to fear. We keep moving forward in faith because everything moves before us. He has gone before us. We keep moving in faith. We keep going ahead. Now, let's look at a couple of these biblical examples because I'm only going to give you a few today. But again, there's a lot of them in the Bible. Let's just look at a couple of these biblical examples of God's promise to drive the enemy from before you in confused chaos and defeat. What's the battle you're facing today? This is what you should picture in your mind. Picture in your mind, you keep moving forward in faith, and the enemy's plans are confused chaos and defeat because he brings them to a state of barren wasteland and nothingness. He can't do anything. Nothing. We keep moving forward in faith. Nothing that the enemy does can ever come against us. Amen? Whatever battle you're facing today, that is the truth. All right, so here's the first example. In the book of 1 Samuel, the Israelites, they're being oppressed by the Philistines. It always seems to be the Philistines. The Israelites are being oppressed by the Philistines. So Jonathan, who is the son of King Saul, Jonathan believes, Jonathan has faith that God is going to supernaturally deliver his people. And so Jonathan went alone, just he and his armor bearer. Jonathan and his armor bearer go alone to a Philistine garrison. Now, we read this in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 14, verse number 6. Then Jonathan said to the man who bore his armor, "Come, let us go over to the garrison of the uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us. For nothing restrains the Lord from saving." This is what Ed said. "Nothing restrains the Lord from saving by many or by few." Jonathan has in his mind to go. He believes that the Lord. Nothing tells the Bible story better than Legos. I thought the kids might pay attention to that. Donna said, "No, make sure you put those in there. It's good for the kids." I said, "I can put in there for me. I like those." So as you read further in these verses, you see here's what happened with Jonathan and his armor bearer. Their plan was really very simple. Their plan is just this. Jonathan and the armor bearer show themselves to the soldiers in the garrison. Now if the soldiers say, once they see Jonathan and the armor bearer, if the soldiers say, "We're coming down to you," then that's a sign to Jonathan that Jonathan the armor bearer better keep a safe distance between themselves and the garrison. But if the soldiers say from the garrison, "You come up to us," then that was a sign from God that the Lord had given the entire garrison into their hands. So what do you suppose the soldiers said? "Come on up to us." To me, it's no small thing that the signal, the sign that God gave to Jonathan was to go forward. The sign was, "Come on up to us." The sign of the victory was not, "We're coming down to you," or "You stay put." The sign was moving forward. Jonathan and the armor bearer had to move forward. "Come on up to us." And they did. Here's what took place. This is 1 Samuel 14, verses 13 and 14. And Jonathan climbed up on his hands and knees with his armor bearer after him. This is an entire garrison. And they fell before Jonathan. And he came after him, and as he came after him, his armor bearer killed them. The first slaughter with Jonathan and his armor bearer made was about 20 men within about a half acre of the land. Here's Jonathan and the armor bearer, two men. And they took an entire garrison of Philistine soldiers. 20 soldiers they took. That's amazing. But you know what? Look at the results that came from Jonathan boldly moving forward against all the odds in the natural. Everything in the natural, all the odds were overwhelmingly stacked against them. But because Jonathan moved forward, because he moved forward in faith, look at what happened. Not only did they take the garrison, but look at what God did next for the nation of Israel. This is verse number 15. I'm going to show you this in the Amplified Bible. And there was trembling and panic in the Philistine camp. in the field and amongst all the men in the garrison. And even the raiders trembled. The earth quaked, and it became a terror from God. One of the biblical definitions of confusion, and again, I told you there's a lot. One of the biblical definitions of confusion is panic. So God brought confusion into the enemy. And because of that, there was tremors and there was panic in the enemy's camp. Same thing still happens today. There was terror and there was panic in the enemy's camp. And even the earth itself quaked at the sound of the chariots of God advancing in its victory. And there's even more. We read that and we learn that as that panic, as that tumult, that confusion grew within the camp of the enemy, as that continued to grow, we read this. This is verse number 20. Then Saul and all the people who were with him assembled, and they went to battle, and indeed, every man's sword, this is speaking to the Philistines, every man's sword was against his neighbor. And there was a very great confusion. Jesus goes before us. It doesn't matter what the battle is that you're facing. It doesn't even matter what that battle looks like. Jesus goes before us. And if we will just keep moving forward in faith in him, we will see every battle plan that Satan has devised against you and those that you love, every one of them will be brought to vain futility, and they shall not prevail against you. Amen. Receive that. This is the truth. This is what he's showing us. And again, if you read through the Old Testament, you see this playing out time and time again, over and over. Here's another example. This is from Gideon. This is the part of Gideon's story where Gideon rises up against the Midianites. Now, you have to remember that Gideon had just downsized his army from 22,000 men down to 300 against the vast army of the Midianites. But Gideon and the Israelites, they had to move forward, just as Jonathan did. They had to move forward. And as they moved forward in faith, God brought confusion, and that confusion led to the defeat and the destruction of the Midianites and their armies. Here's the story. This is in Judges chapter 7, verses 18 through 22. You're going to see this in the Amplified Bible. When I blow the trumpet, this is Gideon speaking, when I blow the trumpet, I and all who are with me, then you blow the trumpets also on every side of all the camp and shout for the Lord and for Gideon. So Gideon and the 100 men, down to 100 here, who were there with him, came to the outskirts of the camp at the beginning of the middle of the watch when the guards had just been changed. And they blew the trumpets, and they smashed the pitchers that were in their hands. And the three companies blew the trumpets and shattered the pitchers, holding the torches in their left hands and in their right hands the trumpets to blow, leaving no chance to use the sword. And they cried, "The sword of the Lord and Gideon." They stood every man in place around the camp, and all the Midianite army ran and cried out and fled. When Gideon's men blew the 300 trumpets, the Lord set every Midianite's sword against his comrade and against all the army. And the army fled as far as Beth Shittah and Zerarah and to the border of Abel, Meholah, and Tabath. This is an overwhelming, this is a few small percentages against the vast army. And it's not even their swords. The Israelites positioned themselves. The Israelites moved forward and put themselves in battle position. But it was not their hands that brought the victory. It was the chaos and the confusion that God brought. God brought that chaos and confusion so that every man in the Midianites' army took up their sword against their comrades. And they were defeated, and they fled. Confusion led. Confusion of the Lord led to the Midianites fleeing and being defeated. They fled before the Israelites. Jesus goes before you. No matter what the battle is that you face, Jesus goes before you. We just keep moving forward. Keep moving forward in Him in all things. And you will watch and see. You will see every one of the battles, every battle that the enemy brings against you, you're going to find that every one of those comes to confused, overwhelming defeat. So here's another example. This is 2 Kings. In 2 Kings, we read the story of how the Syrians had brought their army. And they brought their army against, and they besieged the city of Samaria. Now, Samaria was the capital city, was the capital of the northern kingdom of Israel. Because of this siege, there was a horrible, horrible famine that took place in the city of Samaria itself. And because of this, there was horrific results that took place. Horrific results that took place with the people themselves because of the famine that was there. So that all took place. And when it got to the point of desperation, when there came that there was that moment of desperation, when it came to the place, to that point, when hope was almost lost, when it came to that moment, if you want to go, if you want to take her in my office, you can do that. You don't have to, but if you want to. When it came to that point of desperation, when it came to that moment when all hope seemed to be lost, that's when the prophet Elijah spoke prophetically, and he said, by tomorrow, this famine will be over, and there will be plenty of food for everyone. That was an impossible situation. They've been in famine for so long. How in the world could that much food? There's no food around. How in the world could that much food be there? It was an impossible situation. But look what happened overnight. God brought confusion and panic to the besieging army. And this is what we read. This is in 2 Kings chapter 7, verses 6 and 7. For the Lord had caused the army of the Syrians to hear the noise of chariots, the noise of horses, the noise of a great army. So they said to one another, look, the king of Israel has hired against us kings of the Hittites, kings of the Egyptians to attack us. Therefore they arose and they fled at twilight, and they left the camp intact, their tents, their horses, their donkeys, and they fled for their lives. In their panicked attack, yeah, Legos once more. You don't often find Lego chariots. That was hard to find. In that panic and confusion, the Syrian army, they fled and they left all their food, they left all of their drink, they left all of their silver, they left all of their gold, they left all of their clothes, and they fled in panic and in confusion. God brought to nothingness the plans that the enemy had. This is the same thing that Jesus does for you and I. He brings to nothingness, to a state of barren wasteland, the plans that the enemy has against you. These are the promises that we have. I want you to see Isaiah chapter 61. This is verses 6 and 7. But you shall be named the priests of the Lord. They shall call you the servants of our God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory you shall boast. Instead of your shame, you shall have double honor. And instead of confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess double. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. Because of Jesus Christ, because of His sacrifice and His victory, we have been named as priests of the Lord. Named means that you are proclaimed. It's announced and proclaimed. We are the priests of the Lord. Now, this is confirmed for us in Revelation 1:6. You can read it yourself. But it says that we've been made kings and priests. Now, priests metaphorically mean that we are cleansed, purified in the blood of Jesus Christ. It means that we are made to be close to God Himself. It means that we are living lives devoted to Jesus Christ. That's what it means to be priests. That's who we are. Now, with that in mind, I want to read that same two verses to you, but I want you to see them in the Amplified Bible. But you shall be called the priests of the Lord, people who speak of you as the ministers of our God. You shall eat the wealth of the nations and the glory, once that of your captors shall be yours. Instead of your former shame, you shall have a twofold recompense. Instead of dishonor and reproach or confusion, your people shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess double what they had before forfeited. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. As his priests, instead of confusion, which is now poured out on the enemy's plans against you, as his priests, you eat the wealth of the one who had been your captor. The wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. That means eat and enjoy the double portion blessing that is yours in Jesus Christ, and it comes at the expense of your enemy. Really eat and enjoy it, because it comes at his expense. It's given to us by Jesus Christ, but it comes at the enemy's expense. Here's the last example I want to show you from the Word of God. I'm going back to 1 Samuel. This is chapter 7. Once again, we see that the Israelites, they are battling as they seem to always be with the Philistines. Now, the Israelites had just lost the Ark of the Covenant to the Philistine 4 chapters earlier, just taken place. We see that Samuel is leading the people in repentance before the Lord. And as the people are repenting, getting their hearts right before God, that's when the Philistines decide to attack the Israelites. And as they are drawing near, the Philistines are drawing near in battle, we read this. I don't have any Legos for this one. This is 1 Samuel chapter 7, verses 10 through 7. But the Lord thundered with a loud thunder upon the Philistines that day, and so confused them that they were overcome before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah, and they pursued the Philistines, and they drove them back as far as below Beth-Kar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen, and he called it Ebenezer, saying, "Thus for the Lord has helped us." The Lord thundered a thunder upon the Philistines. This means he brought confusion into the Philistine camp until they were overcome and overwhelmed by the Israelites. I love this. The word thunder in the Hebrew, guess what it means? This is the definition for that word in the Hebrew. It means to make a great noise. And it means to cause confusion. This is exactly what the Lord does. It's the sound. What they heard was the sound of the chariots of God coming. And it brings confusion. And it brings every one of the enemy's plans into a state of nothingness, barren wasteland, vain and futile, powerless before you. This is what belongs to us. Then in verse number 12, Samuel takes a stone and he sets it up and he calls it Ebenezer, which means the stone of help. Jesus Christ is not just our stone. Jesus is our rock. He is our rock of help and deliverance. Jesus has foiled every plan that the enemy has devised against you, so that you and I, that we can move forward in faith in him as priests of the Lord in victory and rejoicing in him in all things. The war is over. Jesus has won. Satan is defeated. But there are battles for us still to face. We just keep moving forward. Keep moving forward in faith in Jesus Christ. And he goes before us. He drives the enemy from before us. And he brings every one of the enemy's plans into barren, futile confusion. He destroys every plan. You have nothing to fear, regardless of whatever battle you face. We just keep moving forward in him. Are you strengthened? You feel encouraged? Jesus, we thank you and praise you. We thank you and praise you that you have. We trust your word. We know it's true. Jesus, we thank you for the victory that you have won for us. We thank you and praise you for the sacrifice you made for your love for us. And we know that every single plan the enemy has devised against us, you have already gone before us. As we keep moving forward in faith, you have driven the enemy from before us. And you have made every one of his plans come into utter defeat and ruin. And we give you the praise. We thank you that the world sees your victories through us and that your name is lifted up and glorified. We thank you for these things in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's stand up and close in worship and praise this morning.